Let's everyone get your hymn book now and turn to 208. 208. As I journey through the land, singing as I go, morning soul to cavalry, to the crimson flow. Many arrows pierce my soul from without within, but my Lord lead me on, through him I must win. Oh, I want to see him, look upon his face, there to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Here's all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. When in service for the Lord, dark may be the night, but I cling more close to him, he will give me life. Satan's snares may vex the soul from the dawn of time, but my Lord goes ahead, leads where'er be time. Oh, I want to see him, look upon his face, there to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Here's all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. When before the billows rise from the mighty deep, then my Lord directs my bark, he does safely keep. And he leads me gently on through this world below. He's a real friend to me, oh, I love him so. Oh, I want to see him, look upon his face, there to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Here's all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. All right, that was good. Let's turn now to number 62. Number 62. There shall be showers of blessing. This is the promise of love. There shall be seasons refreshing, sent from the Savior above. Showers of blessings, showers of blessings we need. Mercy drops round us or falling, but for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessing, precious reviving again. Over the hills and the valley, sound of abundance of rain. Showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us or falling, but for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessing, oh, that today they might fall. Now as to God we're confessing, now as on Jesus we call. Showers of blessings, showers of blessings we need. Mercy drops round us or falling, but for the showers we plead.
Good morning.
It's been a busy morning this morning. It's a good morning. It's a fine morning this morning. And if it's as good a morning in the morning as it is this morning, it'll be a fine morning in the morning as well. Hi, welcome to Oak Hill. Glad to have you here. To our visitors, we're glad to have you. Thank you for coming our way. And may God bless you as we attempt to serve him in the best way that we know how. We got a good day. We're going to have baptism after services immediately following, so we're thankful for that. God continues to bless here. He's really been blessing us of late, and we thank him for that. The weather's cooled off just a tad, and they say maybe it's going to get a little cooler this week. Feeling a little bit fallish, and so appreciate the change in the weather a whole lot. A little bit of rain cooled it off some too. So we got a lot going to be coming up here shortly. Right now it's not a lot on the list, but that's fixing to change. So enjoy this bulletin. The next one's liable to get a lot busier. Today will be our building fund offering. So the second time the plate is passed will be for our building fund. That takes care of remodels and upkeep and projects that are coming our way, and we've got a few coming up. So keep that in mind as the plate's passed second time. As I said a while ago, immediately following the morning sermon, we will be baptizing Sister Gisela Beckwith, and I'm looking forward to that very much. God is blessing us with her. This evening, then, will be our business meeting. So if you want to know what's going on here at Oak Hill, come to the business meeting. And we talk about the things that we've done, the things that are coming up, and some of our visions for what God has for us here. So I encourage you to come back to the business meeting. If you're looking for a church, if God's leading you to a church, I think you ought to know how that church conducts God's business. So you're welcome as well. Please come. Then October the 9th, which happens to be the day of my birthday, surprise, surprise, we're having a surprise birthday party for me. Pardon?
Did you get this together?
No, I didn't do that. But it worked out pretty good. There you go. So come and eat the cake and have the fellowship if you can. God's really been blessing our Wednesday night group too. We've had a ton of kids here for the last few weeks, and we appreciate that very much as well. All right. Good lesson. Amen. Besides a good lesson, we have been having a good Bible study, so I encourage you to come for that as well. We are on Sunday night and Wednesday night just getting down into Revelation pretty good. So it's a good study, so I invite you to come to that. This morning, our nursery attendants will be Miss Levita Kaiser and Miss Vicki Ragsdale. Next Sunday will be Cindy and Jerry. Any other announcements?
203. Down at the cross where my Savior died, down where from cleansing from sin I cried, there to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. There to my heart was the blood.
I want to ask you to stand with me for a word of prayer before I begin this morning. Bow with me, please. Our fathers, we come to you at this time, Lord. We're thankful for the opportunity to be in your house. I'm thankful for the opportunity to stand behind this pulpit, preach your word. Lord, I ask you for strength. I ask you for guidance. I ask, Lord, that you just let me be your mouthpiece. Speak through me. Lord, as you've laid this sermon on my heart, Lord, so help me to preach it as you would see fit, that you might get the honor and the glory that you so richly deserve. Lord, I thank you for this church and what she stands for. I thank you for its people, Lord. I thank you most especially for Jesus Christ that died on the cross for all man's sins, that we all might have hope of an eternity in your presence. In your Son's precious name, and I ask these things in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated, please. I've entitled this sermon, God's Holy Place. This may turn into a little bit of a long sermon. I know we've got a baptism. I can't help it. I just do the best that I can to try to preach what God lays on my heart. And so if you'll bear with me, we'll get through it. In Exodus chapter 25, the Lord told Moses this in verse 8. He said, "And let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them." Now, we're going to be talking a lot about that this morning. I want you to know that God wants us to be where He is. If we get there, it's up to us. I want you to pay close attention to this tabernacle, this temple. It wasn't a tabernacle, it was a temple that Solomon built. I want you to listen to how it was laid out, because it's important. God doesn't do anything haphazardly. So there's a method to the way it was laid out. All right, God designed the temple. Solomon built it. And here's how it was laid out. Outside of the temple, and all of its grandeur, was Solomon's court. Next to that, before you entered in, was the court of the Gentiles. Then you entered through the beautiful gate to get to the outer court. After that, you came to the hall of the Israelites, then the hall of the priest, then came the brazen altar. After that, there were 12 steps leading up into the holy place. That's where the candlestick was. That's where the showbread was. That's where the incense altar was. A heavy tapestry, a veil, if you will, separated the holy place from the Holy of Holies. The Holy of Holies, that was where God dwelt there in the temple. Here's what I think that this world needs a healthy dose of. In James chapter 4 and verse 8, we read, "Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded." Listen to me this morning, church. God wants us to be pure. God wants us to be holy. God wants us to draw close to Him. He wants us to be as close to Him as we can get. I heard Tony Hudson preach a sermon some time back. Most of you probably may not have ever heard of him. It touched my heart. It made me think. Made me cry. You know, us preachers need preach too as well. And God has truly blessed that man. Some of the thoughts in this sermon came from Tony. And I thank him for letting the Spirit work in him. God's truly blessed him. He blessed him when he preached that sermon to a bunch of preachers. He was preaching to a bunch of preachers. Here's what I want you to know this morning. We are tied to God through the cross. Because As we get the picture of the sanctuary, the temple, back in the Old Testament, God was in that holy of holy places. And when Jesus Christ died on the cross, that veil was rent. And now we don't have to have anybody to be our intermediary because that's what Jesus does through us, through the cross. The thing that ties us to God is the cross. The closer we get to the end of this age that we live in, the closer we need to draw to the cross. People don't want to hear about the blood of Jesus Christ anymore. Let me tell you something, friend. Without the blood of Christ, we have no hope. We have no tie. We have no access to God without the blood. Tony said in his sermon, the Bible oozes with scriptures about the cross. I don't know how to spell oozes, but I get the jest being from Jesseville up there. That's kind of some of our vernacular. It means that the cross is throughout the Bible. From the beginning to the end, it talks and it points to the cross there at Calvary and Jesus offering himself upon it. In our day and time, the closer we get to the end of this age, the harder it will be for us to stand by the cross because this world would have us to be politically correct. The world wants to change the Word of God to make it sound good to everybody. Let me tell you something, friend. Like it or not, God is not politically correct. God is God. He's decided long time ago what was right and wrong. And he hadn't changed. He's still God. And our cross, the cross is our bridge to get to where he's at. In the Old Testament, we know as we read and study that the temple was where the Jews came to offer their sacrifices. Outside in that place where the sacrifices were offered, it was a nasty place. It was a place full of sin. It was where they killed those innocent animals, and they were offered there as a remission of sin, which pointed to Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something, friend. This world that we live in today is like it was in the outer part of that temple. It's a nasty place, and it's full of sin. They would take those innocent animals, those little sheep, and all the other offerings, and they would grab them, and they would cut their throat, and they would drain the blood there and catch it and pour it on the altar as a picture of what Jesus did. It was a nasty place out there. There was a lot of blood out there. Well, preacher, that's kind of gory. It's kind of the truth. There was hair scattered about from all that butchering they did. Wool, bodily fluids, all these things, feathers, all that stuff was out there where the sin was. You had to go through there to get to where God was. Let me tell you something, friend. You have to go through all of this mess in the world that we live in today to get to where God is. You had to prepare to go in there. You had to bring your offering with you. You had to be purified. And then on past there, you had to be qualified to get to where God was. Have you ever tried to remove a blood stain? You can't get rid of it. If you watch TV, they can find it even years afterwards. I thank God you can't remove that blood stain that covers my soul. That was out there. But in there where God was, inside the veil, inside the Holy of Holies, it was pure. It was clean. It was immaculate. It was righteous. It was holy in there because that's where God dwelt. The high priest would go in there in the holies of holies one time a year and offer a sacrifice to God for the sins of a nation. I want you to think with me for a second if you've ever heard much about that. There was a purifying ritual that he had to go through. He had to be clean. He had to be pure before he could go into where God was. He had to go through a rigorous cleaning process. And if he didn't do it right, and he went in the Holy of Holies anyway, you know what happened to him? He died. God killed him. Well, God's mean. No, God's pure. God cannot be in the presence of sin. They would tie a rope onto his leg and you know what that means to me is that somebody had went in there unclean and God killed them. They couldn't go get him. They couldn't go in there. So they would tie a rope on there so they could on his leg so they could drag him out. You think God accepts any less from us today? Folk, if you do, you're fooling yourself. This is still the same God, the same holy God. But the cross tore the veil. When Jesus Christ offers himself on the cross and he shed that precious blood, and when he gave up the ghost, that veil was ripped from top to bottom. Listen to me, friend. If you have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have access to God. Matthew 27:50-51 says, Jesus said, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. Powerful. Powerful, powerful was the cross. What God did for us through His Son, Jesus Christ. I thank God for the cross. I thank God for what Jesus did. I thank God for the blood. I thank God that we all have access to the throne of grace through Jesus Christ. Now listen to me for a minute, okay? This church is where God lives with His people today. God lives through us, born-again believers, through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you something, friend. This church is a holy place. It belongs to God. This is where God works best, right here in His place, in that holy place. 1 Peter 2:1 says, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings. Boy, As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so, ye have tasted the Lord is gracious. Listen to me, friend. If you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, do you remember that moment? Now, I've been saved for many years. I have never felt so good in my life as the day, the moment, the second that I gave my life to Jesus Christ, because the weight of the world was lifted and I was pure for the only time in my life. You see, sin creeps in afterward and we continually battle that. But at that time of salvation, God cleansed me of all sin. Oh, if I could stay there where God is. Have you tasted the graciousness of God? Have you received the shed blood of Jesus Christ? Do you know that feeling? Friend, that's what God wants us to strive toward every day that we live. If you skip on down to verse 7, it says, Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, that's Jesus, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, that's those that don't accept, whereunto also they were appointed. Everybody was appointed to be saved by God. He wouldn't have that any of us perish, but that all would have salvation. But listen, in verse 9 it says, but ye are a chosen generation. He's talking to saved people here. Listen to me, friend. If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, he's talking to you. You're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. That's you. You're supposed to be different. You're supposed to be a holy people. Step-by-step directions on how to get to where God is. It's always been that way. In the Old Testament, in the old Jewish religious system, they had a process whereby they could get to where God was. In the New Testament, which is the age that we live in now, there is a process to get to where God is through the blood of Jesus Christ and through our daily walk. You see, the covering of the blood is just the beginning. That's where it all starts. God desires more of us than that. You have to go through the outer court first. You have to go through the place where there's suffering and pain. Well, think about that for a second. That is where all the bad stuff is that we talked about, the blood and such. That is where salvation is acquired, through the blood. The reason many people don't get any further than that is because it requires sacrifice. It requires effort to cleanse yourself, to go on in to where God is. It's not an easy journey. It's a journey with many rewards, but it's a journey also with much heartache. Oh, there are many saved people in the outer court. Many people in our world that are just happy to be saved and satisfied with being there. But let me tell you something, friend. God demands, and I did say demand, more of us than that. Be ye holy, for I am holy, is what God said. covered by the blood, but unwilling to do what it takes to go through all the pain, all the sacrifices, all the heartache to get to where God is. People today want to get there, but they don't want to do what they have to do to get there. We live in an instant society. Satan likes it that way because people are unwilling to work for what they get. They think that the world owes them something. They think that we're supposed to just give them everything. We give participation trophies just for people playing the game. Friend, that's straight from Satan. God says in His Word that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. It takes effort. People want something for nothing in this life. Let me tell you something. Nothing's free. Someone has to pay for what you get. Friendship with this world truly is enmity with God. Did you hear me? If you want to be friends with this world and this society that we live in and accept everything that's accepted in this world today, God does not accept that. Matthew 6:24. Jesus speaking here. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Listen to me, friend. You've got to decide. You've got to choose. Oh, but preacher, I've accepted Jesus Christ and I'm a born-again believer. Praise God, that's the first step. But listen to me. You have to choose who you're going to serve. Drug addicts are not supposed to feel comfortable in church. They're supposed to feel welcome. This is Bible. Homosexuals aren't supposed to feel comfortable. They're supposed to feel welcome as well. An adulterer or an adulteress needs to be nervous in church. This isn't a social club. This is God's house. It's a spiritual gathering. This is where God dwells. A place of worshiping God. That's what we have here. This is a place to get rid of your problems, not to harbor them. This is a place to come and lay the burdens of the world at the feet of Jesus. In Matthew 11:28, it says, Jesus speaking again, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Listen to me, friend. If you want to get to where God is, you have to put forth the effort. First of all, you've got to forgive those who have wronged you. You can't harbor a grudge. I want to read the Lord's Prayer, and I want you to listen to it. Matthew 6:9, "After this manner therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Have you ever heard somebody take the Lord's name in vain? Does it make you sick to your stomach? God's name is hallowed. He's holy. "Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." You know what God's will in heaven is? Everything that He commands is done without question. That should be our desire here on this earth. to do God's will in everything. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses. Do you desire, do you have a desire to be where God is? The veil is torn. The way is plain. We all have access. But we have to cleanse ourselves before we can get in the presence of God. God, being a righteous, holy God, cannot be in the presence of sin. When they came to the holy place in the Old Testament, they brought the best they had. Not the lame, not the dove with the broken wing, not the lamb that had a spot or a blemish or limped. They gave something worth something. If you want to get to where God is, you've got to sacrifice a little. If it was easy, it wouldn't be worth much. Anything that's worth having is worth working for. Listen to me. You can't come before God dirty, stinking, filthy, with worldly things. Oh, you can come before the cross and you can be saved by the blood. But if you really want to walk with God, you've got to work on purifying yourself. Well, preacher, the Bible tells us that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Amen. We all have. Every one of us is guilty. Every one of us has a past. But let me tell you something, friend. That doesn't release us from our responsibility to live better today than we did yesterday and tomorrow. Better than we did today. You have to purify yourself. You have to work at it. Shacked up with someone you're not married to? God's not happy with you. Boy, preacher, you. I'm just telling you like it is, brother, sister. You want to please God? Get sin out of your life. You got to get pure. Out drinking and partying and acting like you don't know any better. Let me tell you something, friend. God's not happy with you either. Because this is just a building, and when you go out that door right there, you take this church with you. Going places you wouldn't dream of taking God? It's not acceptable to God. Listen to me, I think this might be one of the most profound things I'm going to say all morning. If you can't worship God at home, how do you expect to worship God when you get here? You've heard me say this many times, but we should all prepare ourselves to worship God long before we come through those doors back there. We come here to worship and serve God, Jesus. Did we come prepared to worship? Come ready. You may fool me, you may fool your spouse even, you may fool your best friend, but you won't fool God. It's a personal thing. It's a personal relationship. You have to want to be where God is to get there. In Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6, it says this, "For I am the Lord, I change not." In James chapter 4 and verse 7, I know I got you flipping all over the place. I can't help it. It says this, verse 7, submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh unto you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. It all starts at the cross, but it don't end there. Covered by the blood of Jesus, praise the Lord, you're going to spend eternity in the presence of God. But listen, friend, God wants more. Well, preacher, you keep saying that. Well, I'm going to keep saying it until you get it. He wants more. He desires a close personal relationship with you, and we can only get that when we get our heart right with Him. How are you doing? Ask yourself that question. I've asked myself that question. I didn't like the answer. You know what I know, though? That my God is faithful and just to forgive me. And when I come before the throne of grace, I can bring anything that I have and lay it at His feet, and He will take it from me. And when I truly give God 100% of my effort, He'll bless me for my effort. Do you want to be where God is? Or do you just want to be on the outside in that old stinking nasty place where all that sin is? Where all the sacrificing is? Or do you want to really be where God is? Let me tell you something, friend. When you get to where God is, you'll find peace. When you get to where God is, you'll find contentment. When you get to where God is, you will find purpose. When you get to where God is, you'll find that the things of this world don't really matter a whole lot. Because after all, it really is all about God. There's peace over there where God is. In a world that gets worse by the minute, we serve a God who never changes. There's all manner of hurtful things outside. But listen, when you're in the presence of God, He will build a hedge around you like He did Job. But you got to work at it. It takes effort. Great reward comes after great effort has been applied. I know it's hard. I know it's hard, and I know that in this life that none of us can ever live without sin, but I also know that we can do better than we're doing. Preacher, you don't know how good I'm doing. Well, you know what? Keep telling yourself that, friend. And when you examine yourself, honestly, I think you'll have to say, God, I can do better than I'm doing. You want to get to where God is? You want to get in that holy place? Do you want to get there? God wants you there. I think of Adam and Eve in the garden. He walked with them in the cool of the day. Listen to me, friend. God came down and He asked Adam, what you been doing, Adam? God already knew what Adam been doing. But He wanted that fellowship with him. God hasn't changed. God still wants that fellowship with us. We have to want that fellowship with Him. We have to desire to get to where God is. If you got sin in your life, friend, I'm talking to myself. Right here is the place to get rid of it. Right here at this altar. You need Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior right here. The Holy Spirit dwells right here at Oak Hill Missionary Baptist Church. I've seen Him work. accept Jesus before it's eternally too late. Begin that walk, begin that journey, begin that life that's pleasing to God. Give it all to Jesus. Brother Travis, if you'll come, for our son, pray Ernest will come. If you'll stand with me, please. Bow with me, please. Our Father, as we come to you at this time, I pray, Lord, that the words that have been spoken here this morning were the words that you would have spoken, Lord. I pray that you would just use me as your mouthpiece. Lord, I thank you for the Scriptures that give us hope. I thank you for the blood that covers our sin. I thank you, Lord, for the direction in your Word that lets me know that I can get to where God is if I will apply myself 100%. Lord, I pray that if there's any here this morning that don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, that they would accept Him before it's eternally too late. Lord, if there's someone here that needs to get rid of something in their life, something you know, Lord, you know, that they would feel free just to come to this altar and give it to Jesus, whatever it may be. His burden is light. He's told us He'll take it. Lord, I pray that for your will would just be done in each and every life. Lord, as the Spirit leads, Lord, give whoever you're convicting for whatever reason the strength and the willpower to act upon that will of yours in their life. In Jesus' name, amen.
190. Jesus is tenderly calling thee home.
Amen.
Calling today, calling today. Why from the sunshine of love will thy roam farther and farther?
Bring it right here. Give it to God.
Calling today. Calling today. Jesus is calling. Yes, tenderly calling today. Jesus is calling. Thy shall be blessed.
Stand right here with me for a minute.
He will not turn you away. Calling today. Calling today. Jesus is calling. Calling is tenderly calling.